Jesse Shabbat.
Bat, 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 bat.
Was it? Oh, Fessy? Oh my, really?
Really?
Fessy!
If you know, you know.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
The NBA's newest game show, Bet the Under, will not be seen this evening because we're already short-staffed, we have short of time, and justice is short, even though they may not be so short in this case. But for right now, stay tuned for a couple of guys whose heads sort of look like basketballs anyway.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I never thought I looked like a basketball. I shave my head. That doesn't mean I look like a pass. If anything, I look like a bowling ball.
And you I look like a whole bunch of stuff to go through, some of which in the judicial part. And by the way, yes, I was satirical based on the NBA. And if you don't know, start following the news on that one because... And who else is in here? Certain people on Survivor, certain people on Jeopardy, someone that missed something on Wheel of Fortune. But we have good news.
Yes, we do.
Which is one of the things that we're going to be chatting about.
Because we're all about the positivity on this show.
The power of positivity.
That's positive, power of positive thinking with Gordon Pepper. I'm Chico Alexander. And from somewhere in America, WLTI is on. Let's go.
Welcome to episode 510 of the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast. Of course, my name is Jathan Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy. This is a 5-in-1 production. This is WLTI. I'm with, of course, Gordon and Chico, my brothers from another mother. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well, hope you are. By the way, special shout-out to Sam Buttrey. I've had the pleasure of meeting him at the North Carolina State Fair today. And
Who did you?
Yes, I did.
And, you know what? That's a segue. Mr. Gilbert, we're going to do a little bit different this time. Let's do it. Mr. Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
All right, before we get into what happens this week, we have an announcement. Jeopardy! Has released its plans for the 2025 postseason. This comes from Sarah Whitcomb-Foss and Michael Davis, the hosts of Inside Jeopardy, and it was also posted on the show's Substack. This is what's going to go down. We do not have a date as of yet. However, this is what's going to go down. We're going to start with the Second Chance Tournament. 3 weeks, 27 players, 9 players a week, 15 days total television time. It's going to be your standard tournament semifinal format with the winners, with the winner going on to the Champions Wild Card. Champions Wild Card, 15 players, 10 games, 2 weeks. 3-day champions who don't make the tournament of champions. For 2-game and 1-game winners, the bosses looked at all of the criteria, attempts, responses, competitions, scores going into the finals, and coreout score instead of just the amount they earn.
What?
Wow. They are okay. Some thorough bitches.
Okay.
And the winners of those feed into the Tournament of Champions. 21 players, top 3 with the longest runs of the season, get automatically placed in the semifinals. 6 quarterfinal games to determine who will move on to the semis. Then the first to win 3 games wins the tournament. We will have a top 3 seed exhibition game. And we will also have Lisa Ann Walter and W. Kamau Bell participating. The rest of the competitors,
you got them both to play in.
Yeah, the rest of the competitors will be revealed later. By the way, the postseason field will be revealed on November 10th on the next Inside Jeopardy. We will keep an ear out for that.
Yeah, sort of like from an NCAA basketball field. Sort of like, yeah, if you play the NIT before the NCAA tournament and the winner of that gets one of the spots.
Right.
Yes, that's exactly what this is. And actually, there's... Gordon, I'm even going to go further. The second chance is the CBI. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. The champions...
But honestly, I like it. I really like this format. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do too. I'm just hoping to get an invite to the Jeopardy Invitational. What does a guy got to do to get a second chance?
Whose leg do I got to hump to get
the final Jeopardy. Get the final Jeopardy right on your fifth appearance.
Whoa.
Okay, all right.
You're going back 25 years for that.
Mm. Oh, geez.
Anyway.
Okay. Separate Gordon,
I guess I got some Ventolin in here if you have an asthma issue.
Hey, separate quarters, gentlemen. Separate quarters. Okay, exactly. All right.
And you know what? I don't even... Chico.
Uh-huh.
I don't even have to see the screen to know that there's a middle finger coming in my direction from Al Capistrano.
Oh, jeez, you think?
You didn't know there were two birds over here. Anyway,
there's two.
Hey, I'm trying to do a show here. Okay, so...
We all are. But let's just...
So, speaking of two...
What makes today different than any other day?
Yeah, on regular Jeopardy Friday, Darwinware beats Cindy Del Rosario. That was part of the, I believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... new champions in a row. Dargan Ware goes 3, okay? And then we have Tom Devlin, 2-day champ, who won $43,199 against Elijah Perchius Blumoff, a poet and podcaster from Evanston, Illinois, with a great radio voice. Oh my God! Really great radio voice. And Jake Tomlin. And at the end of Final Jeopardy, Tom locks the game away with 27-8. Elijah has 3-4, 7-8. Let's see what they can do with this Final Jeopardy category. South America. An airport at this South American city is named for archaeologist Maria Ricci, who was known as the Lady of the Lines. And I was just like...
Me.
Go for it.
What is Nazca?
I was thinking Cusco, which someone else did, but Nazca is correct. Tom was the only one who got it right. He adds $30,000 and ends the week tomorrow as a 3-day champ with $73,199 going for 4. Gordon, do you, the Lady of the Lines, I was thinking, what is Cusco? Grandmaster Flash myself, if you were thinking.
Right.
I wasn't thinking those sort of lines. I was thinking something close to NASCAR and something that's got a lot of lines. What is NASDAQ?
NASDAQ. Okay. That's good, too.
Yeah, stock lines. Buy, sell, yes. Graphs.
There you go.
Uh-huh. We need to go from the studio to the island. Oh, boy.
What's gonna happen when a bottle of all things, decides that people are going to gang up on you? I don't know.
Now, I didn't catch this. Can you explain this to me?
Okay, so Survivor water bottle. It was Savannah, and it happens at one of those moments where the game sort of takes a step back from the social aspect of the game. Let's talk about Savannah. Savannah takes everything, absolutely everything, personal. You take her water bottle by mistake, she wants to come after you.
To be quite fair, you should not really be going after a water bottle. You know, if it's your property, it should be your property, and therefore, no touchy.
Yeah,
exactly, because that's actually kind of gross. If it's a water bottle, really?
Yeah. For a number of reasons, yes.
And once again, it's one of those things that, you know, doesn't really mean much of anything. In the long run, it just serves to create uncertainty as to how the vote is going to go later. But we're getting to that.
Right.
It's an editing. Well, Chico, you're not completely correct on that. You're not. Yes, it's a red herring. However, and a major however here, this is really good foreshadowing for future episodes of the season. For argument's sake, if someone does get knocked out, you're sort of going to see why and how that is the case, which basically means Savannah may not be long for this game. And the next time that team loses, you may think that she can be in deep, big trouble and Sophie may have a companion there. However, we haven't gotten to that yet. Right now, let's talk about the immunity challenge that puts someone in deep risk as a no-brainer in terms of going away. Chico, please.
Well, before we get to the immunity challenge, we gotta go on a journey, son!
Right. Now, here's the interesting thing about this journey. They had to go. Now, everyone was like, Jason can't go. Jason can't go. Jason can't go. Not me, but somebody else. Jason can't go. And they did, you know, rocks, and Nate won. So MC and Nate had this challenge, which we've seen before. Move a sandbag pile from one to the other before time runs out on a hourglass. Okay? If they did it, they kept their vote. And remember, MC has already lost her vote once. Okay? And if they fail, but what I loved about this, Gordon, you love little production twists that are, you know, that are good, not bad, you know, like this one.
I love these twists. However, and a big however here, and Jay, I will say this now, and then I'll let you keep talking. This episode is dedicated to so many chances that you had to hack this game, and nobody took advantage of any of them. Jay, back to you.
That's correct. Because halfway through the pile, they discovered another note, which said, they hidden nearby under a rock lay an advantage. The first to find it kept their vote, while the other had to finish the task alone before the timer to keep their vote. And they were like, no, we're going to work together and keep our vote. No, you idiot!
No!
No, 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 no.
Excuse me.
Jay, what is the correct solution?
I'd be going, good night, everybody, and I'd be running in that area looking for the...
No! No! No, no, no!
No?
No?
No!
No!
No?
No! This is how you hack the game. You're supposed to be carting the whole thing to the finish line or to a designated area, correct?
Correct.
Right.
You get it to within 5 feet, where you only need one person to carry it the rest of the way, and then you both go out and look for the advantage.
Oh,
and then whoever finds it, all the other person has to do is just move the friggin' thing. Everybody gets their vote, somebody gets an advantage.
They almost got it right then. You're saying they almost got it right.
Almost.
Almost.
But they decided to finish the task. The advantage is dead. And if they complete the task, they keep their vote. They've kept their vote. So now they go to the immunity challenge.
At the end of time is running out, and you still can't find it, then you finish the task.
There you go.
Right.
Okay. So now.
But the clue says that when someone finds it, the other person has to move. It said nothing that you both could stop and look for it. And that's what they should have done after almost completing the task, so that all the other person had to do is just finish the task.
There you go. Okay. Speaking of, one person's going to have that vote count for something after this immunity challenge, where you have to swim to a bamboo cage, climb up
and over,
go into the cage, carry the cage out of the water, and up the beach to a series of baskets. One player has to dig out from under the cage.
And by the way, that was not easy, okay?
No, it never is.
And Gordon, I have to just say that there was a beautiful production moment here, right? When I think it was Hina was behind, and all of a sudden they all went roar, and you saw it in slow motion, and then you saw it was just very beautifully shot. It was just
which was absolutely the worst, dumbest, boneheaded move that Bat Tribe could have done. Stupid. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. To conserve your energy.
No.
Conserve your energy.
No. 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 No, 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 no. If you're Hina and you're paying attention, who got eliminated on the last tribe? On the last tribal council?
That would be Matt. Matt got eliminated.
It would be. Matt is part of the original Hina tribe. That makes only one member of the original Hina tribe left.
That, by the
so
way,
you know, if they lose, Jason goes bye-bye. So what you do is you tank that challenge. You absolutely tank it. You let the other team win. You go out. You play beach volleyball. You do anything but go anywhere near that challenge. And you tank it. And you let the other team win because then you can jettison Sophie and you still keep your group intact.
Just one problem.
Instead, you're now down two members because Matt is gone and Jason is gone.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Again, another opportunity to really play smart. Nobody does it. Dumb. Hey, can you play Bob Barker, please?
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Absolutely should have tanked that challenge. Because now, yeah, you won, that's great. However, you're now down two survivor members to the other team, whatever team that makes it up on. Or the one thing you really don't want to do now is go to Emerge, because now then you'll be in deep big trouble.
Well, we're not going to Emerge, but something else is happening next week. We will talk about it next week.
There you go. Now we go to Dubrovnik, Croatia.
Okay, so we start with our next leg of the race as we go from
Budapest, Hungary
to Dubrovnik, Croatia. That's the start of the leg.
So they fly to Croatia and go to the monument of Ivan Undelich. Okay?
Bless you.
You're welcome. The detour was Fisherman Haul or Skin Them All. Fisherman Haul, teams had to procure fishing nets from the West Harbor and a bucket of chum from Bodasari and deliver them on foot before receiving their next clue. Skin Them All, teams had to make their way to the Old Port and fillet two monkfish before receiving their next clue. And we have a double U-turn.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen with the double U-turn. Two teams are going to have to U-turn somebody else. Jazz and Jag, who are the first one to the U-turn, decide to use it on Izzy and Paige. And Joseph and Adam, who are the second to the double U-turn, choose to use it on Christine and Rubina. So they gotta go back and perform the other half of the U-turn. Or the other half of the...
So instead of targeting, maybe Taylor and Kai, since they seem to be winning anything, both teams decide to go after the weakest members.
Right, which is dumb.
Chico, thank you again.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
Yes.
You have the opportunity to get rid of someone strong and powerful, and you do not do it. Come on, man!
Come on, man.
Tico, one more time.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
Come on.
Thank you.
So then, after the D... yeah, come on, man. The T... after the D... No, I'm just thinking of the Tennessee Titans.
Really? You're thinking of the Tennessee Titans. You're thinking of the Tennessee Titans. You're thinking of Cam Ward.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, we keeping a buck right now. We ass.
Yeah, exactly. That was ass. That was an ass move. After the detour, teams had to find their next clue outside the walls at Boozer Bar, and then travel on foot to the Ploche Gate, and then had to assemble a car called a Cariche, and then roll down a street within 36 seconds, which directed them to the pit stop, which is football car. That Cariche is basically a freaking dolly, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, if you remember the beginning of Cool Runnings, it's something like that.
Well, of course, Tucker and Eric finish first again and win $2,500 each. Man, and again, they shouldn't be there because of the freaking dumb decision.
Yeah.
And,
You want to talk about
one more time?
One more?
Chico, one more time.
One more time?
One more.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
So, Tucker and Eric were first, and Hannah and Simone just couldn't do it, and they are eliminated. Next week, we are still in Croatia.
Yep.
In Dubrovnik and the Dalmatian coast.
Yep.
By the way, which is where the dog comes from. No joke. That's real. We have a steal in the floor.
Yay!
Okay, so here's how we get to that steal. The randomizer starts by picking Arlene, whose category is houseplants. She challenges Idesia, whose category is food pairings. Arlene wins that one. And then we go back to the randomizer, Ashton, a flight nurse, with the category of ghost stories, challenges Dorian, whose category is Lisa Frank.
The stickers.
Stickers, binders, folders, everything. Ashton wins that one, and we go back to the randomizer with Matthew, whose category is exercise moves, challenging Shelby, whose category is movie musicals. And we go back to the randomizer with Tanya, whose category is bones, challenging Josh, whose category is playing cards. Josh wins it. Then we go back to the randomizer, Elizabeth, whose category is Regency Era, challenging Arlene. And Elizabeth eliminates Arlene. She stays and challenges Lee, whose category is Famous Criminals. Elizabeth wins that one too. Now we go to Sabelle, whose category is The Great Outdoors. Elizabeth wins that one too with six spaces. She uses the steal and steals Harry Potter. So her category, for all intents and purposes, Elizabeth's category now, Harry Potter. She decides to go.
I like that a lot. I really like that new wrinkle on the show.
It is a really good wrinkle. But that's nothing compared to how this show ends. If you remember, Elizabeth has six spaces. Aaron has 25.
Mm-hmm.
So she challenges Aaron and his category, the Regency Era. Elizabeth wins. She has 31 spots and $20,000.
Nice. Okay.
So if you ask me, she played that perfectly, because if I'm not mistaken, she had the Regency. No, she did not have the Regency Era. Wait a minute. Yeah, she did have the Regency Era. It was something she knew. Okay, she played that perfectly, and I'll tell you why. When you have a category, if it's something that you probably know a whole lot about, and it would, and for in Elizabeth's case, it would be the Regency era. So what she does is steals the category of somebody she wants to challenge. And that person now has her old category, giving her a distinct advantage.
Yes, exactly. Very smart gameplay.
Very smart gameplay.
Yeah, that not a dumb decision, actually.
That is smart.
That is smart. Let us do 30
seconds. You know what else would be smart? Limiting our Dancing with the Stars coverage. Limiting our Dancing with the Stars coverage to 30 seconds.
All right, let's do it very quickly. Tonight is Wicked Night. Well, last night was Wicked Night. The top scores were Whitney Levin and Mark Ballas at 39-40, Jordan Childs and Ezra Sosa at 39-40. The low scores were Andy Richter and at 27-40, and the couple that was eliminated, Scott Hoying and Riley Arnold at 28-40. Okay.
Well, Scott Hoying's got plenty of time to prepare for the holidays. I was just about to say, Jason. He's got plenty.
Right, I was just asking.
Okay. He's got plenty of time to prepare for the holiday tour with the rest of Pentatonix.
Ah, okay.
So there we go.
And Chico is sad because isn't that one of your groups, Chico?
I love Pentatonix.
One of the most anticipated reality competition shows of the year debuted this week on CBS. It's called The Road. What do you got, Chico?
Well, The Road is basically a country music competition with amazing race guts because you're all on this bus and you're all part of a tour. And you're basically performing on different stops along the way, with the last one standing winning a slot at the Stagecoach Music Festival, a record contract, right, and $250,000 cash money.
Now, the
audience will score each artist on the phone app during the performance. Top three scorers are cited, and the bottom three are up for elimination. Before everyone gets on the tour bus for the next location, one of the bottom three is eliminated.
Now, do they leave?
They leave for the next stop on the tour.
No, but what I'm saying is that if they're eliminated, do they not perform anymore?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's basically American Idol if it were on tour.
Okay. With an Amazing Race twist.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of The Rebel Billionaire with Richard Branson. If only instead of a plane, we have a bus.
Good. Who wants to give me some good?
Good. The good is it's a different execution on an old formula. Instead of confiding everybody to a studio, we bring the music to the people.
I don't like the interactivity on the show. You know, the top three, yay. The bottom three, one of them goes home. I like that aspect of it, sort of, kind of. Obviously, the bigger concern that I have is, if you remember in American Idol, we had this little thing called Vote for the Worst. So a little bit worried that it's going to be taken over in that way. But you got to try something. You got to push a button here a little bit. So I like that part.
Yeah, and I also like
the production values. I really do.
And another thing...
Oh, yeah, they didn't skimp on this. The production values are nice.
And another thing is, this show does not pretend to be anything it isn't. It is a singing competition with the people in the audience voting, and the person with the lowest vote does not get on the bus. It's simple.
And it's not trying to be anything other than country. It is country. It is unabashedly country music. That's good.
Yeah,
it knows its identity.
Yes, it knows its identity, but therein lies the problem for people like me who like old country, outlaw country, as it were, because this is not This is not a show for the old heads. This is a show for today's country, which, let's be honest.
You're talking like Jelly Roll, etc.?
Jelly Roll, Florida-Georgia Line, that sort of thing, yeah.
Luke Bryan, Luke Combs, those types?
Bro country. It's basically what record companies think of as quote unquote country. And part of that,
I'm going to say, building on Chico's point, because I don't think he's wrong. You have one style of genre of country, and Chico's right. There's so many different styles, so many different genres that you have, that it almost seems sort of like a crime. And obviously, we only have this episode to go on. Maybe they do eventually go into Old Head Road, so to speak, on certain genres and stuff. But it really does feel like you're missing an opportunity to really expand people's frame of music, really, in terms of country music, because there's so many different styles, and there's only so much that we're exposed to, and there's a lot that we're not.
Yeah, you know what this reminds me of? Bo Burnham's song, Country Song, if you've ever heard that. Because I'm not going to say it's not real country, but it's more pandering to the audience than it is an actual expression of artwork. And there is artwork to be expressed, don't get me wrong.
It's like you're going into a museum and you're only seeing the Renaissance paintings and you're not seeing anything else, and you don't get to see Jackson Pollock, and you don't get to see Andy Warhol, or the other way around, because we're looking at it from an age perspective. You really don't get to see some of the older styles, and that is a shame.
All right, so.
So, for me, this is good. It doesn't suck. It's not terrible. It could be a lot better. B-.
B- is the absolute correct grade.
It is the absolute correct grade. B- is the grade. If you like it, go ahead and watch it. If not, this thing has nothing to offer.
Again, I agree with you, but sometimes niche isn't terrible. You know? That's at least for me.
Niche is definitely not terrible. The only issue that I have is that if you're going to go niche, give me the full niche.
I get what you're saying. Yeah,
I want niche Lorraine. I want niche with spinach. I want chocolate niche. But I want the same niche. Don't get me wrong. But I want the full niche.
I could say something about chocolate niche. I should say something about chocolate niche and this show. I could, but I'm not going to.
But we need to get the good news and the bad news out of the way in Act 3. But first, Chico.
First, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including the return of a favorite for 2026, and we're getting ready for spooky season in the date book with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. I'm Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 5-on-1. You're home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different things in Chico's house that he likes that rhymes with niche. Like quiche.
Nouveau riche.
Pastiche.
Ooh, I like pastiche.
A Rolls Royce Corniche.
Ooh. But definitely not hashish.
No, bad drugs are bad. We'll be back right after this on 5-on-1. This is We Love to Interrupt.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation, end the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
Vision has been brought to you by The Long Road. Country music gins walk as long as they can with their instruments until they can't walk anymore. If you quit, you get run over by a sousaphone, driven on a Zamboni, carrying a tank. That is The Long Road, coming to people that hate country music.
You saw the Stephen King movie then?
I did. I will just say this. If you read the book and you see the movie, those are two very different experiences. Spoilers, what happens in the book does not happen in the film.
Are we talking about the original or the reboot?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, but lots of news, not a lot of time, right, Chico?
That's right. Gordon, if you would, please.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And don't forget, he is on the air every Sunday with Rock Tracks with Doug Morris, broadcasting from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock Tracks with Doug Morris on Rock 104 FM, WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. Now,
do you see the bat? I actually sewed a 3-piece suit onto it.
Looks very dapper. It looks nice. It looks indeed. Sexy.
Indeed. There's a reason. Concourse, please.
It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh.
It's business. It's business.
We have a renewal to report that is on Project Runway. Disney has renewed it for another season. That season 22 will debut in 2026 on Freeform, Disney Plus, and Hulu. Heidi Klum will return as host, joining by mentor Christian Siriano and judges Law Roach and Nina Garcia.
I was about to say this is a no-brainer, because what they did was is that they made some changes, and they rejiggered the format a little bit, and I think they're successfully, according to you, right?
Right.
I like this a lot. I like the changes that they made. I thought Ellie Roach made a great addition to the cast, and I really like the fact that it didn't take itself too seriously. It took itself seriously, but not too seriously. I'm actually hoping they get more episodes and get more contestants in there. But 10-episode season was good. Didn't overstay its welcome. And again, you really had some good contestants.
You did. And yeah, really good contestants and really good editing, really good storylines to intertwine with the competition. So that was just a really good way to do a season that they just finished up. And hopefully that will continue.
It's been one of the better seasons, and to be quite honest, it's been so much of one of the better seasons that I really wouldn't mind seeing a bunch of them on the next season of All Stars whenever the heck that we see it, or like what they did last time, make season 20 an All Star season. So maybe 25 is an All Star season?
Maybe.
Or 30?
Hopefully.
Maybe.
We shall see. Perhaps.
Maybe one of the fashion designers can scarf up a date book.
Maybe they can. Okay, we're gonna start.
I've got it. It's a decent size. Tomorrow night, as we record this, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune is Alex Borstein, Paul Feig, and Michael Ziegen. Sunday is the season finale of Halloween Wars. Monday is Naked and Afraid Brazil, XL on HBO Max. Finding Mr. Christmas, season premiere on Hallmark. Bake with Love, Holiday Edition. Halloween Bacon Championship, the season finale on Wild and Out on VH1. Big Boss Vet and Kenny Hoopla.
And Tuesday. And Monday is the beginning of a very special week on The Price is Right. They're doing Halloween all week long, starting with four of the best Halloween shows from seasons past, culminating in this year's Halloween Festival on Friday.
Oh, so they're doing Halloween repeats until Friday?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Interesting.
You're not mad.
No, I'm not mad at it. Tuesday is the season premiere of Physical 100, and Wednesday is the season premiere of Ink Master and a reunion of Love is Blind.
Wait, I got one more late entry here. Thursday is one of two Halloween shows on Let's Make a Deal. The Thursday episode will feature Danielle Pinnock from Ghosts. She may play a ghost in primetime, but in a game of expert phone call with Wayne Brady, she'll take on a whole new character.
Mm-hmm. And by the way,
you know, they should do more of these. More, not less, please.
Oh, and by the way, I have a second hater raid you completely missed. I don't know if you'll...
Well, we will get to it, but first...
Yeah, let's talk about that app, though.
You know how I'm always saying that they should reboot Big Break on the Golf Channel?
You're the one.
Yeah. They're rebooting Big Break on the Golf Channel.
Are they really?
Yes, they are, but they're not going to be alone in this endeavor because they've enlisted the help of YouTube golf YouTubers.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be the folks over at Good Good. Good Good Golf's Brad Dahlke and Sean Wolf is going to be part of the cast of 12 contestants with Matt Scharf, also of Good Good Golf, co-hosting alongside Blair O'Neill. By the way, non-playing captains include Garrett Clark and Bubby Broders. None of that makes sense if you are not a golfer, but if you are a golfer and you follow Good Good Golf on YouTube, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The fact that they're using social media to get this going around, that's a very smart decision.
It is a very smart decision.
That is absolutely, yes. That is, yes.
And now for...
This, however, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the dumbest thing Vince Panero could have possibly done, aside from keeping that horrid mustache. He has announced that he and his girlfriend Kelsey are on a break. And this is coming from an October 28th YouTube video. I think coming out of the house, I just wanted to prioritize talking to Kelsey. I wanted to prioritize getting my head on straight and decompressing and processing everything that I just experienced for the past 3+ months. Then he answers a common question he's been receiving from Big Brother fans. While everybody is asking me, what is my relationship like? Kelsey and I have talked everything out. We've talked about everything and anything possible. We're currently taking time to process everything individually and, you know, figure out what things look like after that. Showmances will kill
you. So in other words, what we're saying is that the girlfriend who swore up and down that she would not be offended by Vince's gameplay may have been offended by Vince's gameplay.
Maybe.
With all due respect, Vince didn't help his cause much, if you know what I mean.
No, he did not.
Nope. Oh, but...
So he got called out on his shenanigans, and rightly so.
Very much so. And for his credit, he is taking accountability, saying, however anyone reacted towards me is because I welcomed it. I set those boundaries that was okay, and that was acceptable within my relationship, so that's all on me, and I understand the way that it looked. Amen and hallelujah for that. Bad.
Yeah, well, there's that. Well, I have some haterade for you, and you have one, I have one, and one you missed.
Okay, here we go.
Haterade! The haterade that you missed is that another Food Network instructional show is going bye-bye. And this one is a one that's been around for a while. It's called The Kitchen. Okay? This is the one with Jeffrey Kazarian, Sonny Anderson,
Jeff Morrow,
and over 500 episodes after 12 years. Okay? Oh, and Katie Lee, which was, I believe, Billy Joel's ex-wife, right?
Yes.
Okay? And also Alex Warner Shelley, too.
But yeah, the Kitchen, which is their weekly sort of instructional program, you know, a throwback to what the Food Network used to be before everybody decided to compete for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now we're if you ask me, it's sort of like the slopification of Food Network is continuing on a basis.
It's not slop. No. I'm not calling it slopification. I'm Gordon, you'll know this because we've known Food Network from the beginning. It's gone from instructional to competition, plain and simple.
It's gone from instruction to it's gone from education to entertainment.
I don't have a problem with that. I really don't, as long as you put in something that, again, represents Food Network or represents something that it wants to do, that should be doing, that makes sense. And so far, to be quite honest, there's a lot of stuff that they've done that's hit and not miss.
That's true.
I don't disagree. Not at all. But you have the other one, and everyone's going to go, oh my God, Ken Jennings quitting. Not that one.
Ken Jennings is quitting a hosting gig, but it's not that one. Ken Jennings announced last week that he is leaving Omnibus, which is the podcast he does.
He's just going to have to comfort himself with all the monies he's making from all the other Jeopardies that he's doing and actually becoming incredibly successful. And,
and Mastermind and The Chase.
Yeah, long story short, Ken Jennings is way too occupied with his current gig, that is the host of Jeopardy, to be weighed down by this pokey little podcast here. It's an entertainment podcast, you know what? But still pokey.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you gotta cut something.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? But you know, Vince and Ken need to go somewhere. I think Japan sounds nice.
Oh, Japan. Japan is lovely any time of year.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
By the way, she was actually... Do you ever watch a thing on Instagram called Career Ladder?
Yes.
Okay, she was actually one of them.
Really?
Yes, she was. That's true. I have to find it.
I'm going to have to find that. But yeah, let's go to Japan for the latest GSN original to be developed, 100 choices.
Okay.
It is B17 Entertainment is bringing that show to the U.S. The Japanese format follows this. One question, 100 possible answers. To whittle those answers down to a few, you have to perform a whole lot of challenges. 5 physical challenges to eliminate some of the choices based on the performance of each challenge.
I read this. This could get really fun and interesting.
It really could. And it all depends on what the challenges are. I mean, this could be like Don't Meet's easiest game show ever, if you remember that.
I do. But Don't was repetitive, but again, we'll see. You know?
We will see.
I'm about to send you the Career Ladder episode in question, just to let you know.
All right, thank you. All right.
But we need some more media pros. Let's get them, shall we?
I got pros. I got pros. In different area codes.
Area
codes. Pros. Pros.
Media Pro Report, Tess Daly and Claudia Winkleman have decided to run out the clock on Strictly Come Dancing. This is going to be their final season.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The new contestants for Canada's Drag Race are announced. We have Dulce, Ebony LaBelle, Hazel, Caramilk, Maya Fox, Paolo Perfeccion, PM, Saltina Shaker, Sammy Landry, Starvall, Van Gogh, and Velma Jones. Danielle Fishel was almost dropped last week on Dancing, and Pasha Pashkov has a plan for that. Nose job.
By the way, Danielle Fishel is doing a lot of wrestling stuff along with the on the Instagram. It's pretty funny.
Nice. Travis Kelce buys into Six Flags, all 40 parks. Right?
Yeah, he's a 9% owner now, I think?
I believe so, which means we better be getting a new water ride over at Carowinds, just saying.
Uh-huh.
Ryan Seacrest and Vanna White show up in matching pajamas. Kevin O'Leary, always out to save a buck, says his movie had a cut budget by employing AI extras. Because of course he does. Caroline Flack's death will be probed in a documentary by Disney Plus. Rachel Kirkconnell says she hasn't had relations in years since the Mac James affair. Gary D. You know Gary D. He was on Last Comic Standing, currently hosts Family Feud Canada. He's getting his own Netflix special November 18th.
Okay.
Carson Daly is traumatized by Leonardo DiCaprio for some reason. And Daisy Kent of Bachelor Nation gets picked. But none of them are your pros of the week.
Who
do we got?
We have Mega Mentors.
Ooh, okay. Who do we got?
Joe Walsh and Zach Brown. Joe Walsh.
You mean Joe Walsh from the Eagles?
Yep.
Joe Walsh? That
yep.
guy?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Wow, okay.
So he's going to be a mega mentor for Niall Horan and Reba McEntire. Zach Brown, of the Zach Brown Band, will be a mega mentor for Team Bublé and Team Snoop.
And speaking of Reba McEntire, she has just been announced to be the host of Christmas at Rockefeller Center.
That is correct.
She was just announced today. She's taking over from Kelly Clarkson, who did it the last couple of years.
That is also correct. She is drawing a sizable amount from the networks of NBC Universal. We got The Voice, we've got Happy's Place, and now this.
Look, let me tell you something, and I'll do it, and then we'll go. Reba you know, that the show Reba is very still well loved to this day. So, and Happy's Place is, I think it's going to be for a while.
It is. I think
so. Yeah, she's got this and I'll say qua around her, so I wouldn't vote against her.
Yeah, she is incredible. She's an incredible talent. That's the kind of country music I grew up listening to.
All right, Gordon, if you would.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brave Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Button's right there. Yeah.
Okay, still to come on the big show, we've got bad news. We're going to try and turn it into good news. It's our version of turning poison into medicine here on WLTI on 5 and 1. Stick and stay. We'll be right back. WLTI is presented by Ghosts, the Match Game episode. You think Jay and Sam have their hands full with all of the ghosts of the manor? Wait until they run into Gene Rayburn, Charles Nelson Reilly, Brett Summers, Dickie Dawson, and Betty White.
I forgot Fanny Flagg, too. Oh, no, that's right. She's still around.
Fanny Flagg is still very much alive, Jason.
Whoops. Okay.
And Bert Convy. Can't forget Bert Convy because he hosted the pilot. Of the 90 version, that is. That is Ghosts, the Match Game episode. We love ghosts around here. We really do.
But we have a game, and Chico, could you explain it to us?
Okay, you notice that there's a lot of bad news in the media? Well, there's also a lot of bad news in game shows, and we're going to try and turn it into good news in a game called Good News, Bad News. For example, I've got the first one, the bad news.
Go for it.
Love is Blind Season 9 has ended with no one getting married.
The good news is the cast will be now on 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, after showing up on that little cute little Winnie the Pooh horror movie.
The good news is
actually there's now two of them out there.
The good news is Netflix doesn't have to go far to cast the next season of Perfect Match.
Yeah, there we go. That's good. Okay, next one.
Next one. Gordon?
Wheel of Fortune has been alternating between champions who have won the $1 million and $100,000 and people who have done the same thing in a losing effort.
Hmm.
The good news is the Ryan Seacrest era is incredibly entertaining and watchable and fun and different.
The good news is we have a whole lot of entertaining gameplay to make us forget all about that sort of thing.
The good news is The good news is because it's early enough, Wheel of Fortune has figured out how to save their budget. We're going to see how many times we can use cork as a noun and a verb.
Corking?
Raiders of the Lost Cork.
Oh, please.
Okay, the next one. Number three. Mm-hmm. The bad.
That's you, Chico. I'm sorry.
I was just about to say. The bad news We're gonna go. We haven't talked about Love Island, have we?
Not much.
Well,
we did, but then we can always talk about it some more.
Okay. The bad news. Justine has admitted to going on Love Island Games to meet a certain UK Islander who has basically sworn off the series. Her words were, "If Ovi's there, I'll do it." But Ovi has sworn off the series after his appearance. So the bad news is, Justine has gone on Love Island Games for nothing.
The good news is there's other... Oh, I'm sorry, Jay, you go first.
The good news is the check still cleared.
Yes!
The good news is that there's other fish in the sea. And if things go from bad to worse, you got paycheck.
The good news is, hey, the good news is $20 is still $20.
Please.
There you go.
Oh, I'm going to hell. Jason, Gordon, please. Number four.
Oh, you think I'm going to help you stop that descent? New.
I actually have some. Okay.
All right, you can have it.
Okay. The bad news is no one from Survivor Season 40, Winners at War, were asked back for Survivor 50. The good news is
it's really hard to top Survivor Season 40. That's where all the legends play. Season 50, where else can you go? Gordon?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand exactly what you just said, to be honest.
I'm just thinking, okay, Survivor 40, with all of the winners, but not necessarily any of
I see what you're saying. Okay, gotcha. The good news is that at least it beats an all Rob Mariano, all Thunder Diaz Twine, one or the other show.
Jay?
Yeah, the good news is that, you know, some players will get a legitimate second chance instead of a sixth, like Rob did, you know? There's a point, right?
Yeah.
There is a point. Next one.
The bad news. There are some people in this world who will just let go of their reality show loss and move on with their lives and probably make a career out of it. Hilaria Baldwin is not one of those people. She's making a career out of complaining about being voted out.
The good news is that we are not the correct age group for this, and there is an audience out for it.
Correct.
The good news is there's always I can always click to another page. I don't care.
The good news
there's
is
there's a mute button.
Damn it, Jason, get out of my head.
What?
That was like, the good news is some enterprising soul invented the mute button. So I don't have to deal with that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon, last one.
I will save you, I think. Maybe.
No, you won't.
Nah, I probably won't.
We've established this.
Yes, can you have? Okay, so then therefore, Chico, this is for you. The bad news. We're going to be seeing more Bachelor because that just showed up on Pluto TV.
The good news, Prophet?
The good news, the fact of the matter is that means we also get to see more Golden Bachelor, which for most of us is the bad news, but hey, you know what? I can only follow as much as I can on the topic.
The good news is that's another channel I can block on Pluto.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. No, it's a channel you can block on Plex. Pluto's old and busted. Plex is new hotness.
Plex? Okay. Have to download Plex.
There you go. And that is good news, bad news. And the bad news is this segment is over. But the good news is we've got a speed round coming up after the break.
I'm going to do that right about now.
WLTIs are brought to you by Kentucky Fried Heels. Yay!
California Crush flavor. Yay!
Yes! It's properly endorsed by Bill Belichick because he's been crushing everything else, including Chico's dreams.
Is it time for basketball yet?
Probably. That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Ramsey's done right.
Okay, before we get started with the speed rounds, I've got a letter.
Ooh!
This is from our ombudsman. Stephen writes, gentlemen, just read where season 2 of Pop Culture Jeopardy will be streaming on Netflix. This news makes me sad. I don't have Netflix, and frankly, I don't want Netflix. There are already too many streamers out there charging way too much money for this Ozarks boy to try and keep up with just to see the content I want. I have Hulu Plus Live TV, Peacock, Prime Video, Frndly, and several free fast apps. It's getting to the point where cord cutting is costing more than cable, and neither industry is making any effort to make their services more affordable to more people. The ombudsman would appreciate your thoughts on this issue. P.S. Chico, my last name rhymes with moose. It's one syllable, just spit it out. P.P.S. In case you're wondering, it's Danish. Thank you, Stephen Boos.
Oh, you know what? I actually agree with him to a point. Chico and Gordon, I'll throw it to a wrestling bit. Okay? Right?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you wanted to watch all of WWE, right?
Right.
You'd have to have Netflix for Raw. You'd have to have a cable package with USA on it. And then you would have to have Netflix, and then you would have to subscribe, unless you have a cable system, you would subscribe $29.95 a month to get the premium live events. Say pay-per-view, you so-and-sos. So I get where he's coming from. You know, and also, Major League Baseball, football, basketball, you don't have one sources. You have ESPN, you have Amazon Prime, you have NBA TV, you have NBC, okay? I get it. He's right. He's totally right.
Yeah, I agree with Stephen on this also. I mean, it's like cable all over again, really. And in certain aspects, like for me, I get Fire Stick. So I get all that stuff and I pay a lot less than what you silly Americans do, because, hey, just because it's not American doesn't mean it's not any good.
Well, there's also VPN and other. There's other ways. We'll just leave it at that. We don't endorse them, but we understand. Okay.
We don't endorse them. We're not. I'm not saying we don't endorse them, but if you know, you know.
Well, put it to you this way, and Gordon, we're both old enough to remember this. Do you remember the certain boxes on a certain things that could get all the naughty channels?
Oh, I remember those boxes.
Okay, that, you know,
out of the archives, son.
Right, you had to go to a certain back alley to get the boxes to make sure that everything was great, and then certain things would show up at a certain time, and that you wouldn't pay for them. Just saying. Not that we endorse, but we need to. I need to get to a speed round quickly before I incriminate myself.
Oh,
and let's start that speed round. Now, Survivor. We're not getting the merge yet, but who's in trouble?
If Savannah continues her reign of terror, I say she's in trouble.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think Steven's in trouble. I think Sophie could be in a lot of trouble.
Alright, Amazing Race. Right. Tucker and Eric are emerging as the team to beat, but who is the team to watch for the elimination next week?
Well, again, I mean, are we going to get another twist, or is it just going to be normal race leg? Do we know?
We do not know. That's the beauty of it.
Okay, well, looking at the numbers here,
I'm thinking to myself, if Christine and Rubina don't get out of eight, they're going home. That's what I'm thinking.
That's right, because they've been lagging in the bottom. I'm also not going to throw Jack and Chelsea out of there. They haven't been doing well. People who are in the back are in the back for a reason.
Indeed. Gordon?
Oh, thank you. I know who should be next, but they probably won't be, because it seems like whatever Reverence Big Brother's contestants are giving each other, they're giving a lot to Taylor and Kyle. And even though they should be in trouble right now, they're not going to be.
All right. Jeopardy, how far does... Because Tom, our boy Tom here, Tom Devlin, he's been going really hard. How hard does he go? One game, two games, a week. Give me a number here.
I'm gonna say six games.
All right.
I'm gonna be really nice.
I'll say five. He gets to the TOC.
I think he gets to the TOC easy. It's gonna be an interesting watch in the next couple of games. Just watch. We already answered our mail, so I guess we'll just plug our mail again. WLTI at GameShowNewsNet.com. Follow us on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
And Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end.
And I'm at GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5N1Net. That's the number 5, ANDONENET. We talk about anything and everything network-wide there. For example, we talked about the weirdest season in NFL recent history gets even weirder with unprecedented parody as the Panthers are actually on the come up? What?
They are on the...
They got their crap together?
Why sort of.
They go that far if you look at their schedule.
Well... It could all fall apart as early as this Sunday because they're facing the Bills, so.
Well, we're going to see just how good they are. We have a new world heavyweight champion.
Oh, boy.
And it's not Doug Herron.
Ooh.
It is Jacob Johnson, who knocked out Jason Red to win the world title.
And that is part of the UBA. And of course, more info at ubatoday.info.
Yes.
Over on the NAWC, we are on the road to, Survivor Series, Saturday night's main event. We've got Halloween Havoc this Saturday, and we have, Seth Rollins out till next year. How that's being flipped, and just really, really, really good stuff on the wrestling. We'll talk about that.
All right. And, of course, over on It Was a Thing on TV, since it's just after midnight here on the East Coast, we have a new episode up. It is our annual Halloween episode. It is Helltown with Robert Blake. Basically, what would happen if Miranda found religion. We also have the Squared Circle Time Machine. Episode 26 is Monday Night Raw from October 93, the Savage Crush Summit. So if you remember when Randy Savage and Crush meet to settle the score. Plus a wild Joe Fowler appears. That's all it was a thing on TV.com. So next week, we are talking sweeps because I don't know if you know this, but November is right around the corner. So we'll be talking about sweeps. We'll be talking about more Jeopardy. We'll be talking about The Amazing Race, Survivor, all of the good stuff and all the news that has happened in the next 7 days. We will talk about it here on We Love to Interrupt. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.